Well, you know, I mean, I was like kind of, I read this and I was just kind of stunned at how rude that question was. But then I thought about it and I just thought, I mean, it's not, so, and it's rude, but it's like this ignorant question and it's this racist question at the same time, because the racist part of it is this assumption that, you know, this assumption that the black guys, just by the nature of them being black, would be better football players. And that's just, you know, that's racist in and of it, in and of itself.
Torch columnist Sean Radican, joined by my co-host Derek Bergen for the October 24th, 2008 edition of the Radican Audio Showcase. We are the Torch Towers of Power, and we are back to beat Bruce Mitchell and Wade Keller to the punch with the Radican Audio Showcase for you, the VIP members, this week. And Derek, how are you this week?
I'm doing great, Sean. We might have to. How can we end the weekend like they did? Because we'll talk about it later this show. But the last Bruce Mitchell audio, we stuck in kind of late Sunday night to get that last hit of the weekend. So maybe we'll have to do some clever subterfuge of our own to get these hits out there.
We'll have to stay up till like 3:30 a.m. to beat the Cybering Sunday or whatever it's called. The coverage.
You know.
The pay-per-view that doesn't exist among people that follow wrestling.
Well, in between our blogging, our Hogan Championship Wrestling thoughts and things of that nature.
Yeah, something like that. And if you want to check it out, I did a long-form column on my thoughts on Hogan's celebrity reality wrestling. And another take, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Jeff and Mick Drive to Vegas, that are up in the... on the main page right now, and so you can try to read those. And I don't know if you've noticed, Derek, but James Caldwell is posting quite a bit of news and burying anything that gets posted on the regular and the VIP site. If it's not back issues, it's a Caldwell news item, and there's a new groundbreaking feature on the Torch. Caldwell's Daily Word. Now, you just read it for the first time a little while ago, and what was the recipe for the Daily Word?
The part ticker, part cube, and part commentary on the happenings of in pro wrestling of the day. Now, I have to warn him, Sean. Maybe he is ignoring history, which is what all wrestling companies do. And every time the Torch gets cute and does this daily shit, like the Daily Keller hotline with the quotation marks, someone tried to do a record, Tales from the Taint, daily flow, and it catches up on you pretty fast, and it gets kind of hard to do something like that when you get readers into that test. Do you think your boy is laying a track that his train might be going too fast to cover, or do you think he's going to be the new definition of a Torch staff member?
Like Matt Morgan, the definition of definition?
Uh-oh, they're going to have some dead dogs today.
Oh, Jesus.
But what I was interested to find out was I was browsing the Torch this week, And I saw an update by James Caldwell covering a recent audio show by Keith Lipinski, which had a pretty good interview with Kevin Nash. And it was amazing because the Torch had the news first, even though it was a Wrestling Observer radio show. You know, so James certainly got on the ball and got the highlights up. So this definitely could be a pretty interesting era for news on the Torch Empire because he's out there. I mean, I was talking to Keith, and Keith just couldn't believe it. So it could be a new era, Sean.
It is a new era in the coverage of pro wrestling.
Yes.
And
we will see more Bret Hart book reviews out there and make us all realize how bad the book really was. We didn't realize it.
I don't know. The 20-page manuscript is something that I'm quite looking forward to reading that Caldwell had laid the idea at my feet about a year ago after we both ordered the book from Canada around the same time, and I don't know. I just after his DVD review, I'm looking forward to what he thinks of the book, and I'm sure the wrestling, the IWC awaits his word. I know the conscience is certainly interested to hear what he has to say.
Now, are you going to be doing an ROH audio show with him anytime soon?
I don't know. He's face down the pile of Texas football most of the time when he's not writing his daily word or transcribing highlights from Keith Lipinski interviews with Kevin Nash. So I don't know. It's kind of like the analogy I used trying to get these ROH people lined up like Caldwell and Parker is like trying to scare the chipmunks out of the rocks near my dad's house to kind of fester around and they run back in their hole. When they see danger coming.
The smallest round table on earth with you and Pat doing.
And Parker.
And Parker.
And looking forward to some ROH audio soon. I guess the Driven 2 is...
what did Dave Meltzer call it?
The second incarnation of
Driven. Oh, God. I just don't understand how Gabe doesn't realize how dumb this is. I just don't. Is he doing it to be stubborn? I mean, maybe he does know it's stupid, and now he's just like, well, fuck you! And I'm doing it anyway, fuckers! I just can't believe it. I mean, how many people whose opinion he must value or at least listen to have to point out some stupid shit? I don't mean long-range shit, stuff he's been working on for years, just small stuff. I just don't understand why he digs his heels in the ground.
Have you seen the crew around?
Maybe that's true. Hey, he's so excited the Phillies are in the World Series at fuck wrestling. He's got no time for that right now.
Well, they're running shows tonight, actually, and tomorrow. So he's probably throwing things around backstage as we record this. I'm trying to drum up some interest. Maybe they're beating the streets to get a few more fans down there in Danbury, Connecticut to see Homicide.
It's in Connecticut tonight, and you're not.
Yeah.
You are.
Nope.
You are a piece of work.
Just a lot of commitments, a lot of things I couldn't get out of. So we are. I'm SOL, as they like to say.
Yeah. And ROH is DOA.
But I think I'd rather have the taste of the Boston pay-per-view wetting my lips for the rest of the year rather than the Danbury, Connecticut show, to be honest.
All right. This is one of the ROH icons back in the company, or it should have been back in the company for their first Hammerstein show when the place would have been absolutely out of their mind. It would have been a DVD that people would search out and buy just for that emotional connection, but whatever. He's in Connecticut.
Yeah, in a 38-person Iron Team match.
Yeah, in a fucking stupid gimmick match, but I guess Gabe's a little slighted that TNA and WWE are doing these stupid fucking scrambles, and he's thinking, well, I can do a stupid fucking scramble, too.
I never want to hear you TNA fanboys out there. I never want to hear from any of you again after, TNA did a slightly upgraded version of what I would expect from an ROH, television debut in Vegas last night. Never want to hear from you again. That looked like a bad ROH show from certain camera points. So, go back in your holes and shut your mouths. And
I'll be DVRing that Saturday morning, so I won't be able to give my comments. But after listening to the Friday recap of it, give me a break. I cannot wait for this.
So I don't even want to say it. It's just so frustrating. So frustrating.
It's frustrating on both sides for me, because I think TNA and ROH, they both have a lot of what the other is missing, and there's just there's no chance that that they either one will be welcoming the other to try to fix that, and we're just seeing both of them do the same dumb wrong things over and over again, and it's a damn shame because they're both really good companies and they could be awesome if they fix the small things that are wrong with them. And TNA, it's more some big things, but they also have much more of an opportunity to fix them because they have so much more money and such an unbelievable talent roster. But that's another story for another day.
So are we ready to we're going to be doing we'll see how the read of mail goes before we have other topics in case read of mail goes shorter than our allotted time this week. But are we ready to jump into the mailbag? Our fans are coming through for us, and
they're coming through. I want you to keep this in the back of your mind. I'm so giddy that our lazy fans got off their butt. They stopped following the Marty Jannetty rules of success and actually became something. I want you to pick one of these, and we'll give them a free DVD. So you pick which one. At the end of the questions, I'll ask you who do you want to send it to, and I will. Okay, so let's go to the first question, Sean. Hey,
all right, go ahead.
He's got a question. What do you think was the best TNA pay-per-view and the best angle they ever did? And he says he also closed with, good show, keep it up, or he will stop listening to us. It's up to you guys, he said. So I
we know you'll be listening, Hammer Vice, no matter what we say here. So just keep right-clicking and downloading. And
I think we can guess which is the best TNA pay-per-view, Sean, because you were at it, right?
Was it Lockdown, the strong show of the year contender with the Samoa Joe, Kurt Angle, the most logically booked thing that TNA's ever done in their life? I thought it was the best show top to bottom I've ever seen, and that covers 6 years of this crap. And and I thought it was wonderful. So go ahead and get that DVD and feel the love.
That's Marty Jannetty right there. First question, you've already decided on it. I usually like to do some research on these, and this one I didn't at all. And I certainly like to go back on some of the earlier TNA pay-per-views. I remember when they did those tape shows, which really spotlighted the X Cup or the X Division. And I certainly remember some great shows, but I can't specifically say how great they were, and maybe my memory is making them greater than they were. And right now, you're right. I mean, Lockdown, really impressed me, especially since I went into it and kind of trashing the show. I thought it was a dumb idea to keep going with the steel cage formula the whole way through, even though I love the Joe Angle buildup, and they really tore down the house the entire card. So that Lockdown's going to be my guess, too, I mean, unless I go back and pick out, cherry-pick some of their best pay-per-views, but it's going to be tough to beat that one.
What was the one where my other favorite one was where Caldwell was behind Weston tonight waving the torch around? That was another one.
That was the one right before I went to. I went to Hard Justice, right?
So that was Victory Road.
Yeah.
I think came. I don't know. Maybe it was Long Road Inn or whatever they call the other one or something.
And Glory Hole. And Keith Lipinski should have been at Bound for Glory up in Chicago. Now, I'm not sure if he actually went. It might have been 20 minutes away from his house, kind of like you and the Danbury Kinetic show. And he just said,
Danbury's like Danbury's almost to New York.
I lived in New Hampshire, and New York is only a 4-hour drive from my house. So when you're talking Rhode Island and Connecticut, don't even go there. People can go to their little world map, and they can see that Rhode Island is like the smallest fucking state in the world, and it's easy to get anywhere in New England from there. So don't go there.
It's like 3 hours away.
Oh, God. You're not even 3 hours away from outside of New England.
I wouldn't be able to record this if I was there, so...
This is a long one. All right, you ready? This is a multi-part question. Maybe you should have saved that DVD. This is from a new reader, California for Life. And I might have to ask a question. Or
Carolina.
Carolina for Life? Oh, that's even worse. To explain their screen names, because I don't understand this stuff. She's a big Bruce
Mitchell. I think it's Bruce Mitchell under a hood.
Not a white hood. Don't get me in trouble. On some of the late 2004 shows, and they signed up for it. The commentary often talks about how rough that year was and how fortunate Ring of Honor was to still be in business at the time. Since he wasn't a Tor subscriber and deployed in Iraq, or he was deployed in Iraq, I should read these the way they write them instead of me doing it. I didn't really keep up with a lot of insider news. I assume by rough times they were referring to the Rob Feinstein situation. Can you give me the story behind it? So what do you think, Sean, when the commentators, and at the time, was the commentators Dave and Dave